Saga Egmont presents Death at Eden's End by Joe Allen, read by Luke R. Francis. To Allen, Ian, and Ellen. Prologue. Life flashed before her eyes like a drunk story, a random sequence of unconnected events without form or theme. She was a fighter, determined each breath wouldn't be her last. But even as she clung with her frail fingers to the strong wrists that held her down, she was troubled by how swiftly her dreams and her dramas sped away. Image by image, she clawed them back and forced them to make sense. Monica, swathed in white lace and screaming at her christening as the priest poured holy water over her and the devil fled. Two uniforms in confusion on the floor. Monica again, a joyless, spiritless adult now, telling her off over some triviality as if she were Violet's mother rather than her niece. A lover, leaning in to kiss her, his hand unyielding in the small of her back as he triggered the affair that would play out against a backdrop of searchlights and flame, its soundtrack the sirens of the Blitz and the textured harmonies of big bands. His passion had so nearly been the death of her. Memories attacked her like a stream of angry wasps as she pushed against the hands holding her down and compressing a soft mass over her face. The irredeemable, unrewarded pain of childbirth. The cold white walls of the prison cell where she dwelt in the aftermath of her personal apocalypse. Lungs burning from the effort of resistance, she wrung the concession of another breath to add to her long life, then one more, until her assailant's grip weakened. She would live. It was a momentary lapse. Whoever it was came back at her, harder than before. Bright lights danced across her vision until the newsreel of her life stuttered like an old cine film, spotted by time. Love featured yet again, smiling at her, the narrow French cigarette dangling from his lips as he undressed her with his eyes. The closer she came to death, the stronger the images became, the more vivid the memory of how much she'd loved him. She remembered, too, something she'd spent 70 years fighting to forget. The look on his face when he realized she'd betrayed him, and he was too late to save himself. "Forgive me," she pleaded with his ghost. "It was because I loved you." Her struggles grew weaker as she reaped what she'd sown, and a killer's hands dragged her to her death. In heaven or in hell, she would have to account for her misdeeds. "I have no regrets," she told herself, as even his image, the last thing she ever saw, faded into the darkness of eternity, and death eclipsed her. No regrets. But that wasn't quite true. She would have liked to die like her lover, staring into the face of her killer.
1. Detective Sergeant Ashley O'Halloran took a moment to rearrange the papers on her desk and enjoy the Friday afternoon luxury of choosing what to do next. There was no shortage of options, all jostling for primacy within the shortest possible timescale, but it was refreshingly unusual not to have a meeting scheduled, a queue of messages, or a long list of demands from her colleagues, from lawyers, from prosecutors, social workers or probation officers, all demanding to be done yesterday. Casting an eye over her to-do list, she scanned the options. A report on an assault case. Suspect arrested, remorseful confession forthcoming, and only the paperwork to complete. At least meant she'd have something ticked off the list by the end of Friday afternoon. That would do. She turned back to her laptop, just as Jude Satterthwaite opened the door to the open plan office and paused on the threshold. Jude was a mighty presence in the office, one you couldn't ignore. A man whose attraction stemmed from inside rather than out. Ashley, who appreciated any kind of beauty, male or female, natural or man-made, couldn't rank his looks in the same bracket as her estranged husband Scott, but nevertheless allowed herself a moment to look at him out of the corner of her eye. Not that he wouldn't notice, because as a senior detective, he had an eye for detail and automatically kept track of everything around him. He must be used to the attention by now, because she wasn't the only person, in the office or out of it, who couldn't seem to stop watching him. Dark hair, close cropped.